We continue our reading of Luke's Gospel, and just a reminder where we are. Jesus has announced he is going to Jerusalem there to be crucified and after 3 days rise again. And he is heading towards Jerusalem very slowly, and every step seems to intensify both the instruction he gives to his disciples, but also the warnings he gives to the religious leaders who have proven to be his enemies. And this morning is no exception. In fact, this morning Jesus speaks some of the sharpest rebukes yet to the scribes and the Pharisees, words which, as we see at the end, only intensify their desire that he should be done away with. So Luke 11, beginning at verse 37, let us hear the word of God. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done, without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it." One of the lawyers answered him, "Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also." And he said, "Woe to you, lawyers, also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses, and you consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering.'" As he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. And our text from Micah 6, verse 8, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, bad religion. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. It was bad religion. You see, the scribes and Pharisees were not bad people. In fact, in many true ways, they were very good people. There was much to admire in the devotion, for example, with which they lived out their religion. But the reason they so despised Jesus and in the end rejected him, the reason why we see Jesus speaking so sharply against them, is because they were in the grip of bad religion, a religion that had been distorted and corrupted. And as leaders of the people, that distortion and corruption threatened to spread. In our passage, Jesus pronounces six woes upon the scribes and the Pharisees. Basically, he identifies with those six woes three ways in which the religion of the scribes and Pharisees has gone bad. Three basic failings which align and contrast with what our scripture from Micah 6 identifies as good religion. First of all, the scribes and Pharisees have turned religion into an exercise in self-interest and self-serving rather than God-honoring and other-serving, instead of doing justice, as Micah puts it. And second, the scribes and Pharisees have turned religion into a burdensome list of rules which no one can keep, rather than a divine loving kindness to be received and in turn to be lived out towards others. Love, kindness, as Micah puts it. And third, the scribes and Pharisees have let over-scrupulous attention to outward shows of religion distract them from the real heart of religion, which is relationship, right relationship with our God, to walk humbly with God, as Micah puts it. So let's take each of these pairs of bad religion and good religion in turn and see what they say to us. Again, bad religion, point number one. Jesus says to the Pharisees, "Woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God." And then a little later, "Woe to you Pharisees, you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you." I love how Eugene Peterson translates the same verses in his contemporary translation, The Message. He has Jesus saying, "I've had it with you. You're hopeless, you Pharisees, frauds. You keep meticulous account books, tithing on every nickel and dime you get, but manage to find loopholes for getting around basic matters of justice and God's love. You're hopeless, you Pharisees, frauds. You love sitting at the head table at church dinners, love preening yourselves in the radiance of public flattery. Frauds." Bad religion. The selfish religion of the Pharisees is bad religion because it's always all about them. It's all about how it makes them feel about themselves. It's all about how it impresses the people around them, which then brings praise and honor upon them. And never thinking about others, except in relation to themselves. Never thinking about the needs of others, and especially those who are in critical or continual need. Selfish religion is bad religion because it's never really about serving God. It's about getting God to serve us. Selfish religion is bad religion because it's never about caring for our neighbor as Jesus wants us to. It's always about me and myself and I. Selfish religion is the priest and the Levite crossing over to the other side of the road just in order to avoid that man beaten and robbed because of the inconvenience to themselves, the supposed religious uncleanness they would bring upon themselves if they were to help that person in need. And we know how Jesus felt about that story. Selfish religion is the goats gathered at the left side of Jesus' throne on the judgment day, saying with genuine surprise, "But Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" And they will be even more surprised by that answer when he says, "Truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." Self-centered religion, selfish religion, it's about me. It's about my needs. It's never about you, your needs. And it's never really even about God, except as he meets my needs. It's bad religion. Good religion is this: "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice?" Now understand, justice in the Bible is far more than mere fairness in the courts of law. In fact, biblical justice is something which can seem from a human perspective to be quite unfair. There is a bias continually in Scripture for those who are weak, downtrodden, and helpless. Justice is something that goes far beyond fairness. And to use our modern parlance, it's also something that goes far greater than just a hashtag or a bumper sticker or a Facebook post. It's about something real. It's about opening up our hearts in relation to others. It's about opening up our wallets and our voices in order to serve the needs of others. It's about opening up our eyes and minds so that how we see and think about those around us is altered by Jesus. Especially how we see and think about those who are not like us. Those whom we are tempted to name the least of these. It is instead to see others as Jesus saw them. It's learning that insofar as we are able, we are our brother or sister's keeper. It's learning to live by the two great commandments, that we are to love the Lord our God, and that the way in which we most are able to express that love is by loving the people God has placed around us. Justice means being taken out of ourselves, taken out of our selfishness, in order that we might be of genuine service to those around us, and especially those who are the least. Told you this story before, but it's one of my favorite stories because it's just is so simple and yet so directly about this. It's a story about Presbyterian pastor Doug Ferguson. He and his wife Kim were visiting the church they had attended years before when they were in seminary, and on their way from the parking lot to the church, they were approached by a street person who came up to them and said, "Do you have a minute?" And Ferguson says, "My typical response would be to avoid eye contact, mutter a firm no, and walk by as quickly as possible. But for some reason that morning, some reason that I don't know, maybe even the Holy Spirit, but for some reason I didn't behave as I usually do. He asked a question, 'Do you have a minute?' And I responded with one word, 'Sure.' And then the most amazing thing happened. He stopped and froze and just stared at me. He began to cry. And for what seemed an eternity, we just stood there staring at each other as these tears were running down his face. And finally, he said to me very softly, 'You're treating me like a human. You're treating me like a human.' And for once in my life, I knew the right thing to say at the right moment. I said, 'Well, that's who you are.' Good religion is a religion which is not all about us, but which retrains our selfish hearts to see and to serve others, just as the Lord requires to do justice." And then next up, one of the scribes responds to Jesus' woes spoken against the Pharisees. And he says, "Teacher, in saying these things against the Pharisees, you're insulting us also." Probably regretted those words the minute he spoke them, because Jesus turns on him. He says, "Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." See, the scribes were those who studied the word of God to discern all the rules found therein. That's why they were called lawyers. They were the rule people. They'd found some 613 that people were supposed to keep. And more importantly, they understood religion to be the keeping of these rules in order to earn favor with God. But they also acted as the religious police, in that they would walk about seeking to imply and enforce these rules upon others, as they've already tried to do several times with Jesus. We've seen them do this to Jesus. And in interpreting religion in this way, well, bad religion. A religion obsessed with laws and unattainable degrees of human purity. A bad religion which they then inflict on others as a burden for them to bear. "Woe to you lawyers," Jesus says, "you have taken away the key of knowledge." Taken away the key of knowledge regarding what good religion is really all about. And it's not laws. It's love. The loving kindness of our God towards sinners. I mean, this is good religion. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to love kindness. Works righteousness religion is always bad religion. The idea that we have to somehow earn our salvation, or even if we think it's about grace, still thinking somehow we got to prove our salvation, it's bad religion. The idea that the heart of religion is no drinking, no dancing, no playing cards, or whatever religious rules are in vogue. The idea that you got to get your house in order, you got to get all cleaned up before God will even consider looking at us, much less blessing us. That's bad religion. And even worse when we inflict it upon others. Because the heart of the gospel consists of two things. One, no human being ever is going to be able to keep all the rules. We're all sinners. And two, that God in Christ has drawn near to us anyway. That He's shown kindness to us in spite of our sin. That He loves and redeems us in spite of our dirty hands and our impure hearts. Good religion is not keeping the rules. It's simply the truth that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. His loving kindness toward us, teaching us to love kindness, His kindness, to love Him for His kindness. Because He doesn't throw the book at us. Instead, He embraces us as we are with His grace. What the Lord requires of us is to love kindness, His kindness, not laws. Not laws. Love. And then the last form of bad religion belonging to the scribes and Pharisees. Actually, it's the first we find in our passage. When Jesus enters the home, one of the Pharisee is astonished to see that Jesus does not ritually wash his hands before the meal, as a scribe or Pharisee would. Pharisee's shocked because to him this is a violation of God's law. But two things. First, it's not part of God's law. They made it up. Nowhere in the Bible does God command us to wash our hands before a meal. Our parents teach us that, and thank God they do. Children, obey your parents. But it's not in the Bible. Which leads to two. Jesus sees this as perhaps the most destructive form of bad religion being practiced by the scribes and Pharisees. That which is actually most blinding them to Him. Because while focusing their religion on outward practices of piety, inwardly their hearts have gone far from God. Inwardly there's nothing going on between them and God. It's all about those things we do. They're so far from God, in fact, that they cannot recognize Him standing right in front of them. They're doing everything right. Except for the thing that matters most. Jesus says, you Pharisees, you cleanse the outside of the cup, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You're fools. Bad religion. A religion filled with devout outward practices and appearances, but which inwardly keeps a distance from real relationship with God. It can even use those practices as an excuse to stay away from relationship with the living God. But note, of course, Jesus does not condemn the outward practices. We are supposed to attend worship weekly, read our Bibles, tithe on our income, pray, and so forth. What He says to the Pharisees is in effect, keep it up. But more importantly, let those practices be matched by an inward openness to the real presence of the Holy Spirit. Give as alms also those things that are within. Give God your heart. Your mind. Or as Micah puts it, He's told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to walk humbly with your God? Walk humbly with your God. The outward practices of religion are essential. They're not to be neglected. But a religion of outward observances alone is bad religion. It may look pious, but in fact, it's something that's just pushing us further and further away from God. Bad religion has at its center the outward things we do. Good religion has at its center a living and vital relationship with the one before whom all things are done. Bad religion might look good, but it's skin deep, superficial. Good religion is seeking to be close to God and walking humbly through daily life with God, and so to come to live from out of the very depths of God's presence and goodness and grace. Bad religion is defined by our religious doings for God. Good religion is religion defined by our daily relationship with God. So, good religion. To do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God. But sadly, at the end of our passage, the scribes and the Pharisees seem more determined than ever to do Jesus in. But we might well imagine and even hope for ourselves that the disciples walked away more determined than ever to follow Jesus wherever he led, to walk humbly with their God. So may it be for us this day and always. Amen.